Imagine this. You've finally fled the oppressive country of your birth to arrive at the promised land, where abundance and peace are common, and people freely live as they choose. You're penniless, but hopeful. But days turn into weeks, turn into months, and then years. You still live in a poor area. People sneer at your accent, and money doesn't come easy. Prosperity is possible, but only through grit, hard work, and brain power. For many immigrants to the United States, this isn't a thought exercise. They've lived it. Full disclosure, this is one of the more amazing personal narratives we've shared at The Journey, but the audio isn't exactly studio quality. I promise it's worth it to stick around.
You have to have overcame the adversity, learned a new language, learned a new culture, built a network from scratch without having had one already. Having done all that, you're more likely to figure out how to navigate a confusing environment where these bigger company executives are making deals to exclude startups, but you're okay with that because you already have been in a place where people are excluding you and you found a way in.
That's Semyon Dukach. He overcame those hurdles, and it's exactly what propelled his success. Now, he's betting big on other immigrants who experience the same difficult but strengthening transformation. So many exciting things are happening in the world of small business, but often what gets talked about are highlights. The overnight success stories, the billion-dollar IPOs, the massive exits. And just like your Instagram feed, it's not the whole story. Let's look deeper than the headlines and press photos into the real work of building something valuable and lasting. I love crazy success stories, don't get me wrong, but we all know what's more important than the destination is how you get there, the struggles you have to overcome, the insights you learn along the way. So that's what we're doing. It's raw, it's honest, and maybe it's exactly what you need to hear. I'm Austin Craig, and this is The Journey. When you think of money, the Ivy League, and success in business, what does it look like? Maybe you picture a grand estate, rich parents, and assets that carry wealth across generations, opening every opportunity to the heirs of that fortune. A quick glance at Semyon Dukach might fit that image. He graduated from Columbia and MIT. He was recruited to the MIT blackjack team, who together turned a few thousand dollars into millions by beating casinos around the world. He sold his first startup just before the 2000 dot-com bubble collapse. And today, he's one of the most respected and prolific investors in New England. But Semyon didn't come from a life of luxury and opulence. He was a refugee.
My parents left the Soviet Union in 1979. I was 10 years old at the time. And it was very much a one-way journey. There was no possibility of ever returning. You basically were considered a traitor to the homeland for asking to leave. Everything around that time is very, very clear in memory, much more so than other years. Saying goodbye to relatives who are waiting there, knowing that you'll never see them again. I remember a moment when we were already in the U.S., where just the sheer price of things was such a shock. We had like $100. I was in the habit of reading a lot and discovering the world through books, but I also discovered the early video games.
In the early 80s, video games were new and exciting, and you could find the best of them at the local arcade. For Semyon, that meant spending quarters he didn't have, and spending time with friends, which he also didn't have. So after years of saving, his family purchased one of the first home computer systems, the Commodore 64. When he wanted to master his favorite game, Pac-Man, he picked up the de facto guide, straightforwardly called Mastering Pac-Man. He got very good at Pac-Man, and started reading other books by the same author, Ken Houston. He learned techniques and strategy for all kinds of games, not just video games. Those skills would come in very useful when he went to college. Semyon eventually attended Columbia University, studying computer science, then on to MIT for a PhD. But then a group on campus made an interesting and lucrative proposition. Semyon was recruited to the infamous MIT blackjack team. With intense practice, they learned with perfect recall the statistical outcome of any hand, a mental task far beyond most experienced blackjack players. The team won consistently, raking in millions in just a few years.
In between undergrad and grad school, I spent a year traveling around the world and saw a lot. By the time I was at MIT, I was less excited about sitting in the room and programming. But then the blackjack was so exciting, and it took me out of college and into all kinds of places, all kinds of adventures, some risk, right, and a lot of reward. And I enjoyed it. Never finished the PhD, actually just got a master's and quit and ended up running one of the blackjack teams. It was very much about the money. To make money and to prove that we can do it and to prove like the us against them, have our team beat the bad guys. We viewed the casino as the bad guys, viewed all the other players as just idiots who are wasting their time, which was, you know, cocky and ultimately counterproductive, right? I mean, we were immature. So over time, I lost interest. Ultimately, I just was attracted to the idea of starting a software company because I wanted to have customers who would thank me. I wanted to provide value. I wanted to build something more scalable. And I was done rebelling against the world, and I wanted to fit into the world.
Even after the MIT Blackjack team, Semyon's story was just getting started. He wanted to do more than make money. He'd already proved he could do that. He wanted to build something meaningful and lasting. And during those early days of the internet, before social networking, before even Google, there was plenty to build. He began consulting for banks to help them get online. And after getting deep in the technical weeds, Semyon learned the missing pieces he could build to make the web ready for business.
I read some news groups and I saw multiple people asking for something and no one saying that they had it or that they knew where to find it. So I'm like, okay, we can build this. I built it pretty quickly. And I spun out my own company and had customers and, you know, raised very little money, basically bootstrapped the business and started actually getting the benefit of some mentorship, going to CEO groups with some older guys who would mentor the younger CEOs. We ended up selling it in 99 and you know, bootstrapping to a fairly profitable level and having a good exit. You know, at the same time, I would say, I never really had the passion for being an operator. I never wanted to manage people. I like starting things. I don't like running a company. You know, the Blackjack team, it was a company, but it was also an investment fund. I felt like that was more of a fit for the way my brain worked. And so even while I was running that company in the 90s, I started writing angel checks with some of the money I still had from Blackjack.
When we come back, Semyon talks about how he went from card counter to startup entrepreneur to an investor betting on the best and brightest immigrant founders he could find.
The journey is sponsored by our friends at Salesforce Essentials. We use Salesforce Essentials every day, and it's part of our own business journey. Essentials combines sales and service tools in a single app to help small businesses win customers and keep them happy. See how Salesforce Essentials can help you be your best business at salesforce.com/thejourney.
Just before the dot-com burst, Semyon's software company sold for a handsome profit. He'd learned some things about himself by this point. He knew he was good at making money, whether by gambling, tech startups, or venture investing. He knew he liked starting businesses a lot more than he liked operating them. And he knew what personal traits produced his success and how to cultivate those. So rather than launch another tech firm, he decided investing is where he could shine and make the most impact.
At first, when I was an angel, I focused very much on maximizing my own returns, right? I wanted to have higher returns. But then during that time, in around 2012, 13, when I was very, very active in Boston, I actually decided that I didn't really need returns per se, or at least I didn't need very high ones. I had enough money to keep doing the angel investing activity for the rest of my life and take care of my family. Like, I wasn't particularly ambitious to become more wealthy. I simply wanted to enjoy myself and to make a bigger impact. And interestingly enough, when you actually feel that way, you're able to improve what you do for the founders. The help that you give is actually more impactful. And then what happened as a side effect was, I think I got more of a reputation, but I also simply got stronger and stronger founders talking to me about investing in their company.
When Semyon's family was poor, when he spent time reading books and learning to code, those were the years that would later prove critical to his success. He knew that being an immigrant, hungry for opportunity, cultivated his ability to take calculated and necessary risks as a professional gambler, founder, and investor. That's why today, as the managing partner at One Way Ventures, he searches for the brightest immigrant founders, people who've been through the same challenges that sharpened his own mind and character.
Interestingly enough, the idea that immigrant founders are likely to build a bigger, more successful business than founders who were born in the country in which they're building the business is not particularly insightful or controversial. It's actually obvious. Over half of all the unicorns have immigrant founders, like actual first generation people who themselves personally immigrant. It's a majority of all successful companies. I believe around 25% of the early stage Series A and seed VC investing isn't the immigrant founders. It's largely as a result of the filtering process. It's because the great majority of old people don't immigrate. They stay where they are, right? So the people who do are already pre-selected to have more drive, more determination, right? More ambition, more willingness to take risk than ordinary folks. So it's definitely not the case that people from these other countries are naturally better at building big businesses. It's the specific people who chose to leave those countries, right? Came over, overcame the adversity, learned a new language, learned a new culture, right? Built a network from scratch without having had one already. Having done all that, you're more likely to then take a company further.
Every entrepreneurial journey is unique, Semyon's especially so. And while he's looking specifically for immigrant founders with the grit and determination to come to a new country to launch their ventures, he knows that every founder and investor is unique. They have to be to succeed. When people ask what kind of business he invests in, there's a simple answer.
So it's really about very strong founders, especially CEOs. Like the core sort of person who creates the business has to be really special, has to be able to attract amazing people to follow them. If you can attract amazing people, you can do anything, right? You can solve all problems. There's really not a lot of rules, I would say, to investing. Anyone who wants to get into investing by reading or listening to others and trying to emulate them is unlikely to succeed. It's a strange field where you have to be contrarian. You have to have your own vision and find your own journey. Because at the end of the day, I mean, if it was obvious, if there was a clear path for how to do it, then others would do it. Like, you couldn't beat the market, so to speak. You know, if there was some methodology that clearly worked, then all the VCs would have similar results, right? But it's not the case.
Investor Damon John is famous for his role on the hit show Shark Tank and his FUBU clothing line. And like Semyon Dukach, he knows about money exactly because he didn't have any of it growing up. In The Power of Broke, Damon John says, when you start from a place of nothing much at all, when you're hungry and laser-focused on succeeding at whatever it is you're out to do, when you're flat-out determined to get where you're going no matter what, well, then you've got a running start. You're moving in the right direction for the right reasons. On the flip side of that, when you start with all kinds of resources, when funding isn't an issue, when failure isn't about to break you, well, then you're standing still. Absolutely, there's a tremendous power in being broke. They say necessity is the mother of invention. When you're new to a country, learning the language and maybe destitute, there's plenty of necessity to spur creative ingenuity. And if Semyon Dukach crosses your path, you might have a mentor and investor ready to throw fuel on your fire, to drive investment returns and ultimately spread that opportunity to others. In time, with founders and investors like Semyon, we might see a world where it matters far less what immigration papers you have or where you were born. What ultimately matters is what you can achieve, build, and create for others.
Thank you again to our friends at Salesforce Essentials for sponsoring The Journey. Our team at The Mission uses Salesforce Essentials every day. Salesforce makes the leading CRM, and they created Salesforce Essentials especially for small businesses. It combines sales and service tools in a single app to help you win customers and build your business. It's affordable, it's made for small businesses just like yours, and it includes in-app tutorials so you never get lost. Try it for free today. Visit salesforce.com/thejourney to start your free trial, or click the link in our show notes. We love Salesforce Essentials, and you will too.